Alrighty, folks, you are watching another wonderful special episode of Fanatics and Fan. We're going to do some fun. It's not going to be normal, long as I normally do because I just don't have time. But we are here at Geekamus, right here in Springfield, produced by Fanatics and Fan. And this wonderful man, this is my second interview with him. But this one is going to go so much better because I've got to spend time with him. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Barry Yandell.
A pleasure to join you again. Last time was a ball, but you're right. We know each other a little bit better, so.
So let's
talk. We have stories to hold over each other's heads.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. So you and I have had this conversation recently, and I want fans to know this about you. You've said to me at least twice this weekend, it's not for you. It's not about coming to these cons and making tons of money. It's about coming to these cons and reconnecting with the fans.
Without a doubt. I mean, everybody loves money, don't you? We work. We have to pay our bills. But there are just things that money cannot buy. And at every con, but certainly at this con, there have just been numerous stories where I've connected. We've had something in common. People say I motivate them or their son is a fan or whatever. And that you just don't, that's so much more important than money. And we learn that as we get older, wiser, and more mature. So. Geekmas has not disappointed. The blue ice cream, my goodness, I had a sorbet named after me. Now, all of us that tasted it have been dealing with blue tongues and teeth for the last several days, but it was an honor. The blue bon clay. Plus, I was so relieved that when I tasted it, I didn't have to fake it. It actually was very good. Maze Gelato were the ones.
We thank Maze Gelato and all our wonderful
sponsors.
Such an
honor.
Okay, so talk to me about Spy Family first. This is your latest project.
Yes.
Tell our fans about Spy Family and what they're going to experience. What's your character's name? Let's start with that.
My character's name is Headmaster Harry Henderson. And most of the people that know me know that I'm not familiar with all of my shows. I have tuned in. It premiered on, of course, it's on Crunchyroll, I'm sure. But I tuned into Hulu.
Yes.
About a month ago. And the English dub was there. And I just kind of binged it. And I will say, it is delightful. And people are calling it real warm and fuzzy and family friendly. So it's one that you can watch with your kids and your grandma. And you'll notice my character wants everything to be elegant. That was inelegant. Oh, we want elegance.
So tell me about your experiences with the family-friendly work versus the non-family-friendly work. Which do you prefer?
Well, I really love it all. I am a little bit more conservative than people think, so you will probably not find me on the really... really adventurous. I did some, and afterwards I said, please don't use my real name. This is a little over the edge. Nothing too intense, because I'm being a school teacher and stuff. So I had a pseudonym that people would know. The fans knew it instantly. So all over.
Yeah.
Barry Yandell, also known as Bucky Pearl. So... But yeah, if it's too intense, there's a time and place for that, and
right.
I don't have any problems with people that watch that. You just probably won't find me on the really adventurous shows. But I don't have a preference for the. Well, I guess in a way, I have a preference for the family friendly because there's nothing like a kid, you know, coming up and just
beaming
because they saw your show. And there are certain animes that those little kids should not be watching. Those are for. Really mature teenagers and adults. So
talk to me about Soul Eater.
Soul Eater, I have yet to see it. I'm going to watch it someday. But people used to ask me, what is your favorite character you've ever voiced? And the old line, it's like your kids. But I decided.
Right.
While I have such history and I love making the fans cry as Bon Clay, my favorite character I've ever voiced was the little demon from Soul Eater. Far from my largest role.
Right.
But a little iconic and lots of people know and love him. I guess because he's so multifaceted. He's a little scary, a little funny, a little sexy, a little creepy.
Right.
And the idea of getting inside someone's head and haunting them just seems like a wonderful power I would like to possess.
I understand. another one of your, well, let's rewind this for a second, because I was with you during the premiere for Tiny Tina's Wonderland. Tell us about the voice on that and what it's like having a big iconic, because you also did Borderlands. What it's like to be a part of iconic video games like that. Those are forever.
Yeah,
I know the animes are forever. But you adding another fan base to you. And not for nothing, but anime fans and video game fans are intense.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have yet to play it, but one of my ex-students, Charlie, taught him in seventh grade. He's a big gamer. And so we were scheduling a time to go over, and he's going to play it with me. He says it's a wonderful game, and I have no doubt, because it's Gearbox and my past with Borderlands and all that sort of stuff. I'm looking forward to playing it. I play Chartreuse La Chance, the ghost of a very special pirate. And I've heard a little bit of my work. What fans don't know is we did that during the pandemic. And that entire game, on my part, was voiced inside of my friend Charlie's bedroom closet.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
It's pretty great. And Gearbox was fantastic. They loaded the equipment, set it up, and engineered me inside of Charlie's closet. So when they gave me a copy of the game, you know, I'm honored, but I felt like Charlie would enjoy it more. So I said, this is your gift for letting me record inside your closet. So I'm looking forward to playing it with him. It'll be a lot more fun than if I tried to figure it out myself.
So what other games?
As far as a gamer, I'm like Miss Pac-Man.
But what other games have you done?
I recently learned what an RPG is. That is Tales of Luminaria. Tales of Luminaria.
Okay.
A character I did on Dragon Ball Z Kai, Elder Mori, the Namekian, returned years later, and I did DBZ Kakarot.
Okay.
I've done a couple that I don't really remember. It's been too long ago.
Right.
But Borderlands, all but three, and I love it when fans say, yeah, three was okay, but it wasn't my favorite. I was like, well, that's because I wasn't on it. And then, of course, Tiny Tina's Wonderlands is my latest one.
I will tell you that I was with you for the premiere, but the actual game drop for the general public was a few weeks later, and I was here for that. Mm-hmm. And my gaming community lost their mind.
Awesome. I love to make people lose their minds.
Our electronics arts person played it out in one sitting.
Oh.
Which I think was like a couple of days. I mean, gamers are like that. Like I said, gamers are as intense as anime fans. And here's a question, because you've done a lot of cons. Would you say, and there's a list, would you say that anime fans are on this level versus gamer fans? Or even Doctor Who fans, where would you rate all of them?
Well, they're also individual, but I feel like I have more relationship with the anime fans just because my work is so much more extensive.
Right.
But it's a joy when the fans of anime come up and go, "Whoa, is that Flesh Stick from Borderlands?" I'm like, "It is," and you know, to see the two worlds meld, so. I get excited about anything that makes people happy, and I can be a part of it. And it's been a real gift to be a part of this world.
Now, here's the one that I know the least about. I know a lot of fans have a lot of love for you. This. Talk to us about your character in Black Butler.
Oh, Black Butler. Dear Ian Sinclair called me in. We had never met. We had been on shows before. Oh, he's great. If you've ever seen a show called Space Dandy, I was an alien on one episode. But he's just the most wonderful guy. We finally met in person, and he told me there was going to be this really big project they were working on. And I don't know if I'm going to say this, but they said they were paying me to audition. Well, just so you know, that never happened. That so never I was happens. Like,
I know that.
Thank you. And he said, don't be offended if we don't go with you. And since I don't watch a lot of anime, I was like, oh, whatever you need. He goes, but it's this character he described him. He showed me his picture. He goes, just, you know, get in the booth and just, you know, take a crack at it.
Right.
So I said a couple of lines, and I was so honored when he said, oh, yeah, you'll be William. Let's just keep on going.
Yes.
So he decided on the spot, which is an honor for anybody to say, but when you have a director that you respect so highly, who is also a brilliant actor, it meant a lot to me. And what a gift, you know. It's the one sexy nerd I get to play. Listen, folks, you know, because of my other characters, I got the nerd part down. Sexy was a little bit of a stretch, but I think William's kind of, you know, sexy.
Now, a lot of people have approached me this weekend. Is it okay to talk to him about Full Metal Alchemist? Does he know anything about Full Metal Alchemist? And I'm like, it's Full Metal Alchemist. He knows that he was in it.
And I know that once FMA finished and Yoki apparently died, they called me in a few years later. They said, we're going to do a little FMA. I said, all right, what we got? And they pulled up Yoki's picture. I said, okay, y'all know I haven't seen this, but didn't I die? They said, yep, it's Brotherhood. You live again. So, like Jesus, Yoki was resurrected. I was like, this is awesome that I could be brought back to life just because the whole different manga thing. And I have found that most people prefer Brotherhood, but there's a few that say, no, 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 the original. And I say, whatever, as long as you like one of them and you like my character. That's another character like Henderson, and I love it. And Bon Clay, people say, when I first met him, I just didn't like him.
Right.
But you changed, you brought me in, and I'm like, wow, that's a compliment to me that I could make you like an unlovable
now,
character.
I asked you this, I think it was Thursday night even. I asked you, do you prefer to play a bad guy or a good guy?
And we without a doubt, hey. We got a whole new look.
A whole new look.
You can't see, but we were looking at something really exciting. without a doubt, the villains.
Right.
They're so much more interesting. And when I play a villain, even if it's not in the script, my approach to characters, I like to think, what is his kryptonite? What is his weakness?
Right.
And if it's, you know, it may be, you know, jealousy or being considered a loser or whatever. Or if it's a funny villain, it may be that he's evil and will destroy you until he sees a picture of a cute little puppy.
Right.
You know. So villains to me are just so much. Listen, I'll play anything. I love, not as much, but I have no problem playing Soldier A.
Right.
You know, which I do a lot of that. People don't know that because they're not memorable characters. But when you're gifted someone like Bon Clay, or even, I know the fans, but I'm proud of it because it was my very first work for Funimation, now Crunchyroll, Dragon Ball GT.
Right.
And I played a character named Doll Talkie that turned Pan into a doll. And it was creepy, but yeah.
I mean, well,
villains,
I've spent
villains,
the weekend with
villains.
You. You do creepy well.
I do. I tend to do creepy well. Yeah, give me a villain any day over the good guy, you know. Much more interesting.
So what advice do you have for people that are wanting to break into the business?
I have a couple of things that I will tell you. If you have younger brothers and sisters or kids, read children's books to them, and they are very honest with what voices are a hit with them and the ones that not so much. You're going to need to work up a demo reel, but a lot of you think that you can do wonderful impersonations, which is great because if you're able to manipulate your instrument, your voice,
yes,
to do those impersonations, that means you have a good understanding of how to work it. But on your demo, do not put impersonations because there's already a Stewie and a Marge and a Scooby.
Right.
And, you know, especially like high school students, these days you need volunteer hours for scholarships and stuff if that's your plan in life. Go to your local library and say, hey, I was wondering if you'd want me to read to kids for like an hour on Saturday. And they'll say, well, how much do you charge? And it'll be fun to watch them fall over and drop their teeth when you say, oh, no, I'm just volunteering. If you could sign volunteer hours, that'd be great. But I just want to, you know, do something nice. And, again, you will find out what voices are hit. And then if you are able, you know, please don't, I'm booked. But if you're really serious about it, do some community theater. The best voice actors are trained for the stage. You'll make a lot of friends and have a wonderful time. And then some classes are offered. I'm doing a class in Dallas December 8th, and there's three different artists on three different weeks at a wonderful place owned by directors and voice actors, film actors, called Iolite Studios in Dallas. And then if you can reach out and find somebody to coach you or to give you ideas on your demo who is currently working in the business. I mean, some lady did a Doritos commercial in 1982. That's great. But find someone that's currently working in the business. And if you don't necessarily connect with that first coach, go to somebody else. Coaches are like therapists, you know. Maybe you don't click with that one. But those would be my top advice. Learn to be directable and just be an overall nice guy. Because in my experience, everybody in the voice acting world are just so supportive and kind.
Yes.
And down to earth, you know.
Most of them.
Most
Speaking of which, let's close with your Chris Sabat story.
Oh, Chris. Well, first of all, you got to say his name right.
Okay.
Everybody says I used to too, Chris Sabat. Christopher Sabat, I'm a huge fan of. And he does a great impersonation of me and where he says, I love this guy. You see him on the street and he's like, hi, my name's Barry Andel. I just love being a voice actor. And I'm like, okay, that's a little intense, don't you think? Like, flaming gummer pile. But he says, then he gets to the booth. He's like, oh, we'll kill you. Well, I'm not offended by that because that means I'm a good actor because not all of us are blessed with Chris Sabat's rich, fabulous voice. And people get tired of hearing me say this, but literally, that's his real voice.
Yeah.
And I could hear him in the grocery store. Tabitha, how are we doing on toilet paper and paper towels? Listen, I would kill to have that rich, glorious voice.
Right.
But I don't, so I make the best of it.
Thank you so much for being here at Geekmas.
Oh, such an honor. I had a blast. Yeah, I love meeting people from all over the world. But they're all have their unique qualities, and the love has been flowing here for me, has not gone unnoticed, and I'm so appreciative. Thank you for inviting me.
What projects do you have next?
I'm continuing with Spy Family. I worked on it last week. I'm dying to get on, but I wasn't able. I had technical problems, Mike McFarland and those involved.
Right.
I'm dying to get on Chainsaw Man.
Well, who is it?
Even if I get, you know, killed in one episode, that's fine. I am working on going forward. I kind of had a halt in my audiobook career. And then at some point, I'm going to try not to be as lazy as I've been because Funimation/Crunchyroll, has spoiled me to getting work. But I need to develop a new demo reel and then go to L.A. for pilot season because this crazy guy needs to be on a sitcom, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, folks. Thank you, Mr. Barry Andel, and you've been watching Fanatics and Fan.
Keep watching.